Also on the line is Doug Beattie from the Ulster Unionist Party. So what about you? You must welcome this money, let's be honest.
Of course I do, Chris. And any politician must welcome this money coming in.
Do you care about Scotland?
To Northern Ireland. And I do welcome it, and well done to the DUP for that. But I will say, and I'm very mindful of this, having listened to Angus, is as a unionist, I do appreciate that we need a good relationship with our neighbours. And I am worried about the damage that it has done with our relationship between Scotland, England and Wales. And we don't hold the power. The Conservatives hold the power. And if Theresa May had the opportunity to give a like-minded amount of money to these countries, then I wouldn't have an issue with that whatsoever. So I am very mindful of our relationship. But it is a good deal. It is good for Northern Ireland to bring investment in. And we should welcome that investment, and we are in desperate need of that investment as well. So it's a good deal for Northern Ireland, but I am concerned about the wider implications.
Just in terms of the deal, John, when you look at the breakdown of where the money's going, do you think it's being used wisely? Is that the best places it could go to?
Well, I suppose the infrastructure spending is at the heart of this. So it's £400 million out of the £1 billion package. Economists tend to like infrastructure spending because it creates an asset for the future, which then should help make the overall economy more productive in the longer term. And on top of that £400 million, you can also add the broadband money as well. What's that, £150 million as well? So the bulk of it is going on infrastructure, which should hopefully improve our economy in the longer term. I suppose a lot of the rest of the money is really about tackling short-term pressures in the health service, but ultimately the health service needs a bigger piece of reform. But yeah, you know, on the whole, I've seen economists welcoming this focus on investment.
Okay, Doug Beattie's still on the line, Nelson McCausland's still on the line. Let's go to John in West Belfast. Hiya, John.
Hello, Chris.
Hiya. So what do you think about this deal?
It just reminds me of something. The late Howard Wilson, he wasn't maybe old enough to remember, referred to this place and the people who lived in it as spongers. That was Howard Wilson's words when he was Prime Minister. He referred to us as spongers. But I think if he's alive today, he might now be referring to it as blackmailers. This is actually blackmail. That's all it is.
Is that fair, Nelson McCausland?
We've seen their good negotiations. The DUP negotiators went into this, I think, in a responsible way, in a reasonable way.
And milked it for what they could get.
Sorry?
And milked it for what they could get.
I think that they behaved responsibly. They did not overplay their hands. They got a reasonable deal in Ireland. And I think that that's simply what they were talking about. We're talking about negotiations. And it's been welcomed by Doug Beattie there from the Ulster Unionist Party. You get a bit of begrudging support and endorsement and welcome from other parties here from the national side. But I think also, as your correspondent pointed out there, John Campbell, economists will welcome this as well because they can see the benefits that it brings in terms of improving our infrastructure, making our economy more competitive, and therefore rebalancing it ultimately towards the private sector.
John, if we are turning the screw on the Conservatives and getting extra money for Northern Ireland, is that a bad thing?
Well, the way I look at it, I don't think it's fair for the other regions, Wales or Scotland, for starters, because Nelson probably thinks for some reason this is strengthened the union. To me, it's made the Scotch case and the Welsh case totally more nationalist to me. The same way the English government's going to treat them.
Yeah, you're not the only person saying that. William is on the line from Armagh. What do you think about this?
Hello, Chris. I'm inclined to agree with that last speaker there because the unionists who always talk about themselves being great members of the union and supporting the UK union and so forth. Well, this is really a selfish act on their part for a few pieces of silver. They've sort of betrayed the other countries, Scotland and Wales, and they've allowed a right-wing Tory government, which is austerity-oriented, to continue with the dismantling of the welfare state and all of that entails, the attack on the health service, education services, everything. And then they've also halted the natural progress and the thinking of the large a mass of the people in the UK in their vote against the Tory government. And all that will do is halt for a short period of time that progress. And whenever the Tory party come out of power, what do you think a Labour man in Scotland, a Labour man in Wales, or a Liberal man in England will view this little part of the world when they talk about their great support?
The point is, though, the UK may have had a vote here. And this is what the result was. The Conservatives won the election, and with the support of the DUP, they can now form a government. This is just the way government works.
Hey, but we have to think of the long-term future. And also, you look at what the Tory party were going to do before the vote, what they were going to attack on pensions, they're attacking the health service. You just have to look at that. That hasn't gone to bed. They will resurrect that probably a lot down the line. All that we have done over here is for a few pieces of silver, that money will probably be frittered away over here anyway.
Well, let's put that to Doug Beattie, because you seem to want it both ways, Doug. You're basically saying, oh, this money is great, I welcome it and everything else, but I appreciate it's bad for Scotland and Wales. I mean, where do you actually fall? You can't balance on that fence for too long. Is this a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Of course I can balance on that fence because I'm a unionist and I respect all aspects of the union, Chris. So I don't know why you think I can't balance on that fence.
Because ultimately you can decide whether or not a deal is a good deal or a bad deal.
It's a good deal for Northern Ireland. It's absolutely a good deal for Northern Ireland.
And a bad deal for the UK?
Well, it could be viewed as a wider problematic deal for the rest of the United Kingdom. And I'm already hearing from Scotland and Wales, and they have issues with it. And they're quite right to say that they have issues with it. So what I'm saying is, we need to be very mindful of our relationship with our neighbours within this United Kingdom.
Yeah, but what's your view?
If we are going to keep it as a United Kingdom,
is it a good deal for the UK? That's a simple question.
Sorry?
Is it a good deal for the UK? That's a simple question. What's your view?
Well, my view, as I'm trying to explain to you, my view is what the DUP has done now is they've created a stable government. We now have a government which can progress things forward. Now, that's got to be a good thing in the short to medium term. It's a good deal for Northern Ireland because we have investment, but it's what's the effects on the long term of the United Kingdom that I'm very mindful of. I can't give you an answer if this will galvanise the nationalist vote in Scotland or in Wales. I just can't give you that at this moment in time. But if it does, then it will have proven to be something that has been detrimental to the union. Now, that's what I've expressed, and I think that's a fair stance to take.
Did I hear you sigh, Nelson McCausland?
No, you didn't hear me sigh.
Okay, I thought I did. Apologies in the middle of that. Somebody did a sigh. I'll try and work out who it was. Let's go to Lawrence, who's in Saintfield. Hiya, Lawrence.
Good morning.
Well, what do you think?
Personally, I don't think it will make any difference how much money they get here, because there's no way they can manage it. Whenever you look at what they've had and the way they've wasted it, the subsidised canteens up in Stormont, they were sitting eating caviar and smoked salmon every day now.
I don't think they will be introducing caviar and smoke. But maybe they do. They smoke
the
salmon occasionally. I don't know.
Done with. Look at the expenses that they have. There's no cap on that there. Each MLA is allowed an office expense for everything, right to the last postage stamp.
There is a cap. I mean, there's an amount of money that is allowed for all of these expenses.
So it is. The money, it doesn't make no difference. They'll waste it.
I'll tell you what, though, Doug Beattie, there will be some people asking the question, at what stage do you stop getting paid if there isn't a deal done on Thursday?
Well, yes, and I think it's a fair point, and I find it hard to support that I will continue to be paid if we don't get a deal on Thursday. We have to look at this, and I could see that the pay should be reduced or maybe even stopped in the months to come. We need to get a deal on Thursday. We need to get a deal for the people of Northern Ireland. This country of ours is slowly but surely crumbling under the weight of the pressures it's under at the moment. So we must get a deal on Thursday.
Trying to get an insight into just how likely that is.
Yeah.
Can you give us any insight to where negotiations are at Stormont? How did it go late last night?
Well, listen, Chris, it really is ebbing and flowing. A lot of the information isn't available to all of the parties, but if you'd asked me on Friday, I'd have said to you, listen, I think we're going for a deal. If you'd asked me yesterday, I would have been thinking maybe not. And today, I'm not sure. The roundtable talks, which were planned for this morning, have been pushed back till 2 o'clock. That could be because the DUP and Sinn Féin have got a deal and they're just crossing the T's and dotting the I's. I don't know. But I think the sticking points are really quite clear. I think there needs to be a trade-off, and that trade-off seems to be for an Irish Language Act for Sinn Féin, that Sinn Féin will allow Arlene Foster to be the First Minister. Now, that's very simplistic in its terms, but I think that's pretty much where we're down to now.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, though, because John O'Dowd did seem to indicate that Arlene Foster was still not acceptable, although avoided the language of red lines.
Yes, and actually, you know, that we are at a really crucial point of the negotiations, and you can see why he's avoided those red lines, and you know, and that's a fair one, I think. But I think when it boils down to it, that's pretty much where we are at this moment in time. So it's negotiating the language of that, I think, could well be the issue. And it could be that they won't get an agreement, that neither are happy with that particular issue. But I think that's pretty much the sticking point. I get the sense that on legacy, we are moving forward, and that we're talking about the public consultation process, which is going to happen after Thursday, maybe after July, and we're pretty much finished in dealing with sort of governance and that sort of thing.
When you say information is not available to all the parties, does that indicate that the DUP and Sinn Féin are taking this aside? They're having conversations now, and do you think that does indicate that they are getting into the final stages of working a deal?
No, I think they have to get together and have extensive talks because of those very sticking points that I've given. They're very particular, I think, to those two parties in that instance. And I think that their negotiations have really focused on that to come round some sort of a deal in regards to that. So I think that's where we're going, Chris, and I think that could well be the problem. There is other issues, don't get me wrong. You know, there's many other issues around legacy, and there's issues around the governance side of things. But I think the sticking points are those that I've described. And if we came to an arrangement on that, for example, if Sinn Féin were given an Irish Language Act and they did allow Arlene Foster to take her post as First Minister, I think we would have a resolution by Thursday.